I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dukes versus the world at 2 o'clock today. Chad will be with you in about 55. He'll take you up to Nats pregame, 3:35. Charlie and Dave, 4:05 first pitch. Cincinnati Reds in town. We get a good look at Trevor Bauer, acquired via trade from the Cleveland Indians. He opposes Steven Strasburg in a tremendous pitching matchup today. Dave Jagler, who will be on the call, joins us for the big one at 1. He and Charlie Slows can be heard right here with the first pitch and every offering thereafter at 4:05 today, 3 hours from right now. Jags, why don't we start with the Joe Ross Renaissance? What a story. He and Fetty both. Fetty's going to join us in 25 minutes. But I got to tell you, I was essentially done with expecting anything from either of those guys, and they've been a godsend in this stretch run.
Well, you're absolutely right, because you talk about starting that road trip after they lose 2-3 to Atlanta, and they go on that road trip, and you're figuring, okay, Ross and Fetty potentially are going to start two games each on that road trip, and this is even before they get to New York. And you're thinking, okay, well, they're winning Strasburg's games, they're winning Corbin's games, they're winning most of Sanchez's games, but they were losing all of the games started by the other guys. And so you're figuring that's going to be a really rough road trip. And then it completely flips around. They win both Fetty starts, they win both Ross starts, end up losing the Strasburg and Corbin games. So Joe Ross's resurgence has been just at the right time. Max is trying to get back to health and maybe pitches this weekend, if not the next turn through the rotation. And now you got to decide which guy you want going forward. But I think Ross, there's been an increase in stuff simply because of maybe the changes they've made that Paul Menhardt suggested in his delivery. Changing position on the road, a little more of an athletic posture in his delivery. He's maintained his velocity deep in his outings. We used to see Ross go 94, 95 early, and then all of a sudden, middle innings, he'd be 90 to 91. And there was very, very little separation in velocity with his other pitches. But now that he's consistently sitting 95 and he's added the low 80s curveball, he's basically now a three-speed pitcher, which allows him more chance to succeed as a starting pitcher.
Speaking of starting pitchers, Max Scherzer through yesterday. That's good. All the different elements of that day where they're simulating the game, and that's all awesome. But what's happened before is he's thought it was all good to go, and then the next day, a.k.a. today, something would pop up in terms of soreness or whatever. What have we heard so far about his arrival at the ballpark? How's he feeling? Are we still progressing forward to getting him back on the mound? They need him.
Well, we're still waiting. Davey Martinez is going to talk in about 20 minutes. But as I sit here in my perch where we'll call this game this afternoon at 4:05, I look down in the field, and I see Max Scherzer playing catch right now. So to me, that's great news, right?
Yes.
If Max Scherzer wasn't feeling good, he wouldn't be playing catch right at this moment. He just started playing catch about the time we started this interview. So I'm going to take that as a very good sign, and we'll see what Davey says. But I think the plan would be maybe for him to throw a side session tomorrow, which he would normally do the second day after a start. If you look at yesterday as a quote-unquote start, and if he feels good coming out of that, then potentially he'd line up to pitch on Sunday against Milwaukee. And if he does do that, it would be an abbreviated start, but it would be a start nonetheless to get him on the mound. I don't anticipate him doing a rehab game. You're not going to waste Max Scherzer innings at Harrisburg or Potomac. So if he feels up to it, to me, he's slotted in to pitch Sunday. Otherwise, he'd maybe do one more simulated game just to stretch out a little bit more. But the fact that he's playing catch right now, to me, is a very good sign.
Dave Jagler is with us on Grant and Danny. 18-13 is the record since Max Scherzer went down. I would not have had that in the office pool. I think Martinez and Rizzo deserve a lot of credit, but so do Soto and Rendon, who have done some heavy lifting for this offense. Four homers in his last four for Juan Soto. And you go back before that, I mean, he is killing the ball over the last couple of weeks for power. What can we say about the 20-year-old at this point?
Well, we can say I was just glad to see him play last night, because when he rounded third base and, you know, he looked like the horse who couldn't put any weight on that leg, and he couldn't even hop back on one leg to get back to third on the double by Cabrera. You're thinking the worst as that's happening in real time, and for him to miss just one game was truly a blessing. So, yeah, Soto's looking great at the plate, and it's hard to you know, hard to keep in mind this guy's just 20 years old, and you look at him as a certifiable carrier of the load of this offense, like a veteran player. And to me, over the course of the year, he's gotten better defensively. He's a more complete player, and certainly someone that you have to worry about on the other side. And so when you have Rendon going well and Soto going well at the same time, that's a tough part of the lineup for the pitcher to get through unscathed. Then you have to face those guys 3-4 times a game. This offense is really clicking with those guys. And let's not forget Turner. He's on a 21-game on-base streak, so he's setting the table. Eaton's had a nice little run here. He's drawing his walks, getting some hits here and there. So there are a lot of guys on base for Rendon to close in on 100 RBIs already, and for Soto to be right up there around 80 RBIs at this point of the year. Credit to the guys getting on base in front of him, too.
Soto's best buddy, Victor Robles, is much older. He's 21. 15 homers and 17
grizzled
steals.
Veteran.
Yeah, he's been around the block for a while. Outfield assists of 99 and 97 miles an hour the last two nights defensively. I think he's got the franchise record now with 9 assists from center
field. For center fielders, yes. Soriano had, I think, 20 as a left fielder in 06 when everybody ran on Alfonso Soriano. But what we think is...
He had 20 assists in 06?
Yes, he did. Look it up. Because he had moved from second base... Because nobody thought he could throw them out. Because he was a second baseman, he begrudgingly went to the outfield in spring training because the Nationals had Jose Vedro at second, and teams just kept running. Well, he's not going to throw us out. And he kept throwing guys out at third and at home. It was amazing. Anyway, back to the present day. Robles, you know, I think coming into the year, it's like, okay, well, you know, he's really a couple of steps below Michael Taylor defensively, but he's going to give you a little more offensively. But I think that gap has closed very quickly. The reads he's getting off the crack of the bat are much better as the year has gone along. And the Cincinnati Reds maybe needed to amend their scouting report. When they sent Joey Votto trying to score from second base on a ball in very shallow center field, and he was out by 25 feet, that should have amended their scouting report. They tried to run on him last night, and that was the play of the game because that was probably a low percentage chance to throw the runner out, and the batter actually went to second on the play. So if you don't throw him out, that's a huge swing in the ball game. But he threw an absolute seed to nail Peraza at third base. So the growth for him defensively, and give him credit because since he hit that home run in Atlanta that tied the game mid-July, he had not hit well until he hit the home run against Diaz on Sunday. Now he's had a couple of good games in a row. He didn't take that out to the field, which, you know, sometimes young players, you get into a slump offensively, you're going to carry that out on the field. He's played his best defensive center field the last month as he wasn't hitting as well.
Well, another spot where you're getting more is Brian Dozier at second base. He, since the middle of May, end of May, he's been, you know, a 250 hitter on a, you know, high 20s homer pace, and that's been good. I don't know that it makes up for those first couple months when they probably really needed him and he was hitting DC's area code 202, but he's been swinging it well, playing good D, but he's not in the lineup again today. A lot more Asdrubal Cabrera than I thought we were going to see. What's going on there at the second base spot, Dave?
Well, I think over the weekend he was under the weather. He ate something that didn't agree with him, so he was down and unavailable to play other than to pinch hit. So I don't know if he just came out of it yesterday not feeling his best. The other thing you would keep in mind, he's faced Trevor Bauer a whole bunch. 205 hitter against Bauer. Maybe they like that matchup a little better with Cabrera batting from the left side against Bauer. But this, you know, Cabrera, you know, to pick him up at that time when actually you didn't know the Dozier was going to be down for about 3 days proved to be a big thing because Cabrera had a couple of big hits in New York. So I think today just maybe a matchup situation over the weekend. Dozier wasn't available and was not able to play 9 innings of those 3 games in a row.
Dave Jagler, Charlie Slows on the call, 405. You mentioned Bauer, Strasburg. This is one of those pitching matchups that, for the fans, it's a good one to go out and see. I know it's a businessman special here at 405. It's tough to get out to the ballpark, but hopefully the energy will be good because it's a chance for a sweep, and you're not going to get a better starting pitching tandem than this.
Yeah, I mean, it was great last night, guys. I mean, they pulled in 30,000 for a weeknight against the Redlegs. That was a nice atmosphere and, you know, some exciting plays. The crowd was into it. And, you know, what was interesting last night, they stayed around to the end. And watching Hudson finish out that game was pretty cool. So here today, it's Strasburg and Bauer. And this would be, you know, to win a series against the Reds. I mean, the Reds are a little bit under 500, but this is a team playing pretty good baseball. They're fortunate to miss Sonny Gray and Luis Castillo. They've got kind of a three-headed monster at the top of their rotation now, with Bauer being the third, and so they get him today. But if Strasburg can match him, then they've got a good chance to pull off the sweep here, and then it's a huge series over the weekend.
Jax, thank you as always, buddy. Have a great call this afternoon.
All right. See you guys soon.
Dave Jagler, listen to him, coming up in less than 3 hours with the first pitch. Pre-game starts at 3:35 today. Eric Fetty at the bottom of the hour will join us from Nats Park He has been grooving, just like Joe Rawson. It has come at a really good time for the Nats rotation. Next, we're going to play a little game. We're going to buy or sell on some of these stocks that are the hyped names coming out of camp. There's a bunch of players that a lot of people are falling in love with, and we'll buy or sell whether those guys are going to make good on that hype this regular season next on G&D.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Eric Fetty, bottom of the hour at 1:30. We're taking you up till 2 today. Much appreciate you making the show part of your afternoon, as always. It just dawned on me, I love unsweet iced tea, and I love lemonade, but I hate Arnold Palmer, the combination of the two of them.
That is a bizarre thing.
Although, is the Arnold Palmer, is that sweet tea and lemonade?
Or no.
Is that,
no.
So it's unsweet and lemonade.
Your sweetness comes from the sweetness in the lemonade,
mm-hmm.
Right? So it's the point is, if you don't want something too sweet, you get an unbelievably refreshing Arnold Palmer.
Yeah, I don't like sweet tea at all. I can't stand it. And so I wouldn't ever drink it. And I know a lot of people do the Arnold Palmer move. I can't do that either. But I love the two things. You would think if you like one thing and another thing and you combine the two, it would be impossible to not like
into a Voltron of joy.
Whatever it is.
No, I understand it. You know, I like eggs and I like chocolate. I don't want chocolate on my eggs.
But they don't go together. This is two liquids that kind of forms just a cup of liquid.
Yeah, but that to me is one of the great combinations in the history of the world. And that's what he should be known for. Not like hitting a golf ball somewhere, but inventing a beverage.
I think he should probably be known for golf first.
His contribution to society is the drink. He also hit golf balls.
Before we get to Fetty, let's do a little buy or sell on the Redskins who have gotten the most traction during training camp and the preseason. Start with Jimmy Moreland. The people's corner.
The people's corner.
Everybody right now acting like Jimmy Moreland by the end of the year is going to be a starter shutting down number ones. Are we buying or selling Jimmy Moreland's hype train?
Sell. He is not going to start. He is going to be in rotation. Someone's got to get hurt. He's not getting in there ahead of Josh Norman. He's not getting in there ahead of Quentin Dunbar. He's not getting in there probably before Fabian Moreau for a while. I think he's maybe your fourth corner. And if he played a lot, he would be exposed in the run game. Because you'd send a bunch of guards and fullbacks and tight ends his way and knock him around. He'd have to prove he can handle the physicality of the spot before you really trust him down in and down out. He's going to make some flash plays. He's put on this earth to intercept footballs and punch him out and all that. He's also right now a guy that's going to give up a lot of things too. And the excitement is cool, and he's worth developing. He's worth being here. He's worth keeping. But I don't think he's going to have a huge impact this year.
I'm buying Jimmy Moreland's hype train for this perspective. It sounds like we got a very different set of expectations or what we would consider a win. This guy was drafted in the 7th round, almost went undrafted, out of James Madison University. He's going to make the team, and he's going to play. He's going to be their fourth corner, and I think he's going to be on the field in the first month of the season. As a 7th round pick, that is a buy. What you see is legit. Now, is he going to be a starter? No, I don't believe that. So if you're asking me to buy or sell that, I'll sell that all day long. But just the hype on him as a player comped to a 7th round pick who a lot of people, when he was drafted,
they're usually Ted Bolzer.
Yeah, assumed would not make the team, buying Jimmy Moreland. Next, Terry McLaurin, buy or sell?
Sell. Sell, 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 sell. We need to settle down. This is the latest T-shirt and shorts Olympics. Receivers in the system right now probably aren't going to produce that much anyway. Who's he unseating? How many snaps is he going to get? He's right now a special teamer that's probably their fourth, maybe their fifth receiver. I am selling on him having a major impact, as is kind of being hinted at by a lot of the folks that cover it.
Well, you know that you're saying fourth or fifth receiver. Every beat reporter we have on says that he's one of their top two receivers.
They're talking about him as a starter. Like, right. He's unseated somebody.
So that's just for the record, I guess. I'm going to sell on Terry McLaurin as well. I'm going to say, look, third-round pick, wide receivers, they get to be on the field, they get to play. So I don't think he's going to exceed that by a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
Buying on him would mean I think he's going to make a big impact. I think he's going to catch a lot of balls and be a fixture in the offense and be say, one of their leaders in catches most weeks at some point early to mid this year. I don't really see that. I would love if that was the case, and I hope I'm wrong. If they got one right and they hit a home run on this pick, it's basically going to be the first time non-Crowder division that they've done that at wide receiver in like 30 years. The numbers are against Terry McLaurin. Well, let's go Robert Davis, buy or sell.
You know where I'm going to be at on this. Sell. Sell, sell, sell. Sell it as quick as you can possibly sell it. The camp attention, the amount of highlight reel catches, he's always behind people, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know when he plays. A bunch of guys have to get hurt, I think, in order for him to see the field. I don't know if he makes it to the practice squad, but that's my most likely spot for him.
I'll say sell because I've got him on the practice squad, because I'll say buy on Cam Sims, who's next, who I think will make the team. One of those two guys gets in. I think Sims or Davis can be snuck onto the practice squad. That's where I'll disagree with some other people maybe. And if they get claimed, so what? Mm-hmm. I mean, you're really losing sleep right over that. Davis is a great story. There's not much film on him at this point. I think there are Sims and Davises in a lot of camps around the country. We happen to fall in love and become enamored with our guys.
Mm-hmm.
Davis is an awesome story. Came back from injury. Sims is a really good story. Caught like 14 balls as a blocker at Alabama. Didn't get a whole lot of run and has turned himself into a real nice prospect. So I think you got to buy on one of those guys in terms of making the roster, and I'll go Sims. Again, I'm going to say the same thing I said about McLaurin. I think McLaurin is higher than him on the depth chart, obviously, as a third-round pick. I think he'll get more opportunities. And if I feel like Terry McLaurin might catch like 40 balls for 458 yards or whatever it's going to be, 40 for 500, a la a light version of Crowder in his first year, What's going to be left for Cam Sims? How dynamic do you think this passing game is going to be?
Yeah,
just slinging it around and everyone catches 60 balls. If Cam Sims catches 20 passes in the regular season this year, that's a huge win. I would take the under as of right now. So I guess I will say buy on Sims, sell on Davis, because I think Sims makes the team.
So again, the hype around, I do think Sims makes the team, but my sort of threshold here for the hype is that he's, again, an impactful player. Yeah, he's their fifth receiver. So I think over under like 15 or 16 catches. So if that's buying, then I guess I do. But I would put that under.
He makes it. So you're buying or selling him the hype?
Because my threshold's higher. So I'm going to say sell because people again are talking about him.
You're
like
0-4.
He's an asset.
You haven't bought anything yet. How about Cole Holcomb, the inside linebacker from North Carolina? I'm buying him as well because I think he's going to play a lot. Sean Dion Hamilton is not going to stay healthy. Mm-hmm. I hope I'm wrong, but that's kind of my take until I'm proven otherwise on a guy that had a checkered injury history in college and in the NFL so far in one-plus seasons. Without any depth at inside linebacker, and especially proven depth, John Bostic, who's been here for 3 hours, yep, is really the only other guy other than Cole Holcomb. I think Holcomb might start a lot of games this year, and I think he's going to play substantially. He'll be fine. You know, he'll be Mason Foster-ish.
Yep.
He can run a little bit more than Foster, but he'll make sure tackles. He'll get people to the ground. I think that's a pretty high floor, like low ceiling position in this defense, and he'll make it work. I'll say buy.
Heavy buy on him. He's going to play. He's going to play a lot. And it may not be by design, but I think it's going to end up happening. So I buy Holcomb.
Buying or selling the training camp hype on Wes Martin?
Buy that. I think he ends up starting at left guard.
I do too. How good is he?
Serviceable. Honestly, I think that's the industry standard.
It might not happen right away. I think he becomes Spencer Long. You know, Spencer Long left here and got, what did he get, like $6 million to play elsewhere.
He got paid.
Became a starter with the Jets. I think he could become that guy. Third round pick, super strong. Again, this comes back to my feeling on guards. He's just a guard.
Guard.
Like, are you strong? Can you push people around? Are you athletic enough to get out in space a little bit? It's not that hard to be a serviceable guard in this league. Because every play doesn't rely upon you dominating. Every play doesn't rely upon you winning one-on-one. Now, when you get a really good one like Sheriff, you pay that guy because you could do a lot more things with Brandon Sheriff than you could do with two Wes Martins. But I think it's going to be okay. I think he'll start in week one. And if he's on the field for 16 games, I think at the end of the year, we will say about him what we did about your cousin, Chase Roullier, last year, which is, I mean, does anybody really know how good he was specifically? No, but he was part of an Eastern offensive line. You don't notice him that much. I think that's kind of what Wes Martin could
be. Yeah, if you don't see a guy on roller skates 8 yards back in the backfield every play, you feel okay about that spot. I think that's what's going to happen. He may not start week one, but I think he eventually takes over.
Those are probably the most hyped names in camp. Moreland, McLaurin, Davis, Holcomb, Sims, and Martin. And that's a little buy and sell for you on Grant and Danny. Eric Fetty, starting pitcher with the Nationals, completely turning his season around despite criticism. Now, you and I had been tough on the back of that rotation. Well, he and Ross have gotten it together. How'd they do it? We'll ask him next.
Backer off the bat of Van Meter, starting a 1-6-3 inning-ending double play. His 11th double play turn behind him this season.
Max Scherzer just spoke to reporters at Nationals Park about his back. You're going to want to hear what he said. I'll just tell you that. It is a big announcement from Max Scherzer. We'll get to that next segment. Scherzer's been out for the better part of a month, pitching just once since the All-Star break against the Colorado Rockies, 5 innings of work. Because he hadn't been available, the Nats desperately needed Joe Ross and Eric Fetty to help them, and both have. Eric Fetty's last two starts, 6 innings scoreless against the Giants, 6 innings, 2 runs, terrific against the Reds. He joins us now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Eric, first of all, congratulations on these strong last couple of outings and the 8 2-run or fewer starts out of 11 this year. Much appreciate the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure, man. Again, I echo what Grant said. Congrats on it. What feels different now? You know, like, does it feel just like you kind of got your feet underneath you and you're maybe more sure of yourself at this point this go around because you look like a different guy?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty fair to say. I think, you know, just getting up to this level and, you know, getting my feet wet and, you know, I guess feeling a little more comfortable and showing that I can compete at this level makes, you know, everything a lot easier.
Eric, I've always said I think it's really hard for guys like you to develop in this organization. And it's not a knock on the Nats, who are very good at developing players, but they don't really have time to let guys go through struggles. They're not that patient, nor can they be in these races every single year where maybe you need to go through some growing pains. What is it like on a contending team like Washington when you and Joe Ross and Michael Taylor and some of those guys, you just need the reps, but they might not always be there because either you're spending big or you can't afford to let players take their lumps?
Yeah, I mean, it is fun being part of a winning culture. I think that's really important as part of, you know, I guess a growing pain. But, yeah, when you go out there and you know your team needs quality starts when you're in a playoff race and things like that, you know, there's extra pressure added. And I don't know, it just makes you, I mean, you got to learn in the fire. And, you know, sometimes there will be growing pains, but I mean, getting out there and, you know, trying to win with the boys is, you know, everything you can ask for. It's better than, you know, being 50 games out or something at this point.
2014 first-round pick out of UNLV in his third year, Eric Fetty at 26 years old. On Grant and Danny here on the Fan, he's sporting a 4.09 earned runner average on the season. With Max out, was there ever a conversation when someone came to you and Joe and said, listen, guys, it's you guys stepping up or we're in big trouble? Did that discussion actually happen, or was that something that you knew internally?
I feel like, yeah, it's definitely one of those internal things where, like you said, just being part of this organization and knowing that, you know, every time we step on the field, it's pretty much a must-win situation, especially the way the season's been going and the playoff race. Yeah, it got to the point where I think both of us, you know, we talked to each other and saying, like, you know, we got a lot of big starts coming up, and it's great seeing Joe do great. And, you know, I'm happy every time I can come in the dugout after a start and know I gave the boys a chance to win.
Eric Fetty with us here on Grant and Danny. It's kind of anecdotal, but you heard in the highlight coming in that Dave Jagler's calling this. You've had a bunch of double plays turned behind you. I feel like the sinker is now really, really working. And guys are a little bit more uncomfortable because now it looks, you know, that looks just like your cutter, and guys can't tell which is which until the ball's already gone in one direction or the other. And you're mixing your pitches a little bit more, it seems like. Again, this is all kind of anecdotally just watching you. Do you feel that way now, that it's the – you kind of got down who Eric Fetty is?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, when I first came up, it was truly just more playing the sinker. And now with the addition of the cutter and just being, I guess, consistent with it, I'm getting, you know, trying to get like the butterfly effect of seeing a straight ball and not knowing which way it's going. And I'm seeing a lot more defensive swings. And, you know, with the ground balls, you know, double plays are great. And anytime I can get multiple outs, that's a benefit. And I think that's, you know, showing a lot of its effect has shown a lot of success.
Yeah, it absolutely has. I mean, the hitters tell the story, right? When they're up there comfortable and, you know, you're spinning around watching outfielders run. It's not happening right now. Guys are taking those defensive swings, as you said. When did that sort of click for you, too? The, you know, that it's not about trying to throw it by people just with velo. It's that mix. I mean, the miles per hour variance between all your pitches is something that would probably frustrate a lot of hitters.
Yeah, I mean, well, you look around the league right now and, you know, everybody's running out guys that are throwing, you know, 95 to 100, and it's almost as the hitters see that every day now. But, you know, if you can get, you know, the fastball moving in different directions and keeping guys guessing. It'll, you know, keep guys off balance, and, you know, I've seen success with it, so I'm just going to keep using that till I have to make an adjustment.
It goes without saying that when you make a change and all of a sudden the results improve, the person that is new gets the credit. So there's a lot of attention right now being paid to Paul Menhardt. And I don't know if you guys would have trended up in the bullpen or specifically you and Joe otherwise, but you've worked with him a lot. What makes him good, and how much credit do you think he deserves for some of what's happening right now?
Yeah, Paulie's been great. You know, I've had him my whole career, working with him through the minors, and now, you know, to have him in the big leagues is, you know, it's a sense of, I guess, like your safety blankets there, somebody that really knows you and knows what you're working with. He, you know, he's quick to let me know. He's seen me at my best. He's seen me at my worst, and he's quick to let me know, you know, how to get back to my best. And, you know, it feels good when someone tells you something, you can truly believe it. Even, I mean, just knowing, having confidence that what they're saying is going to help you can have its effect. Yeah, he's been great. I think everyone here has, you know, enjoyed having him around, and especially with the team playing the way it is, you know, happy to have him.
Eric, I think back a couple years ago when Stras developed that slider-cutter thing that was just so nasty and so lethal, and he fell in love with it and ultimately blamed some of his arm troubles for that. And you mentioned kind of the development of your cutter. Isn't it tempting to fall in love with that new toy and sort of maybe keep trotting it out there because it's so much fun? It's like a new girlfriend or something, right? Or you're just so excited to hang out. But it's also maybe not what brought you. Does that make sense? How do you balance that, the excitement of the new toy versus, hey, your sinker, slider, you know, sort of, you know, have been kind of your staples?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, yeah, you always want to show off the new toy. But I think I know that what has got me here, what got me drafted in the first round, was my sinker-slider combo. And I have to, you know, mix those in as much as I can. Like you said, it's tough when things are working well. But I think as a starter, you have a little more option to, you know, mix some stuff up through six, seven innings. And, you know, I'm still just trying to put all the pieces together to make sure I, you know, get the changeup as good as possible and keep the slider sharp. So it's one of those things where it's just a constant battle throughout the season of making sure you keep everything going and not losing one pitch. And I think that's what helps, is if you throw all four constantly, you'll, you know, keep everything sharp.
Eric, I got a couple of non-baseball questions for you before we let you get out of here, and I'm sure Danny has a couple as well. You ready?
All right.
All right, first one. You guys play at 4:05, so ideally you're getting out of the ballpark, let's say 7:30 or so. Let's say you can go wherever you want. It's restaurant week in D.C. Either what restaurant or what kind of food are you searching out for dinner tonight out and about?
Let's see. I've really enjoyed a spot called Agua El Due, or Agua El Two. I don't... it's an Italian spot down here in the city, and I really enjoy that. Italian food's probably my go-to at this point.
What's your dish? Are you a pasta guy or like chicken parm?
Gotta be a big carb guy.
Oh, yeah. Chicken parm is pretty bomb, but I also it's hard to pass up on gnocchi every once in a while.
Gnocchi is
so
good.
Delicious.
You're a Vegas kid, born and raised. Are you amped about the Vegas Raiders? And by that token, are you already following the Oakland Raiders and you're an Antonio Brown mark, or where are we at on the Raiders right now?
Funny story. I mean, I've grown up a Broncos fan and hating the Raiders, but this is going to be tough with them moving to Vegas. So
what do you do?
I don't know what I'm going to do. Maybe just, I mean, it's going to kill me to root for them. My parents love telling the story about when Bill Romanowski got traded to the Raiders, I cried. So, I don't know. It's going to be an interesting situation, but maybe I'll just have to have a soft spot now for the Raiders.
You know, Joe Ross is a Raiders fan.
He's a Raiders mark,
fan,
right?
Through and through. Like I saw him on the sideline at a Raiders Redskins game. He just came to go hang out and like meet Derek Carr or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, he's from the Bay Area, so yeah. It makes a lot of sense. And yeah, I mean, maybe I'll have to talk to him a little bit and get some tips on how to be a Raiders fan. It might be tough, but maybe he'll point me in the right direction.
He's got some makeup for you, a couple costumes, you know, to fit in with the black hole.
Yeah, paint the face a little bit.
Yeah. Eric, team flight, where you're not watching film or not like breaking down like a previous start or anything else, it's relaxing time. Are you Netflix guy? Are you high adrenaline gambling guy playing cards? What's the deal?
I mean, I think with the team we got right now, the payrolls are a little high. So I'm definitely a gambling guy, but my bank account right now maybe isn't up there with some of the other guys. But maybe in the future. But, yeah, right now probably just a lot of HBO shows and – you know, just hanging out, talking with the guys. I really enjoy cards, but yeah, maybe one day I'll get up there with the boys.
What are you watching now? Give me an Eric Fetty quick show review.
Let's see. Right now, well, I just finished up Stranger Things on Netflix. I mean, was a big Game of Thrones guy.
Have you watched Last Chance U?
I've only seen a couple episodes of that. I think on HBO too. I just watched the show Barry. I would really recommend that. It's pretty funny comedy.
Bill Hader
yeah.
is awesome.
He's a 10 in that show. It's
yeah,
really
he
good.
He's awesome.
Last one for me. Have you seen this video? It's one of my favorite things ever. So, like, it gets posted all the time now whenever you guys win. But there's, like, a video of the plane and, like, Brian Dozier with some, like, Latin song on in the background puts, like, these glasses on. He's doing, like, this cool vibe with the Hawaiian shirt. And he basically, like, is singing the song and Juan Soto's going nuts. And you're in the background just eating Chick-fil-A. Have you seen that
yeah.
video?
I know exactly what video you're talking about. I saw me being tagged on it in Twitter, and I'm like, geez, I look like such an idiot back
no.
there just trying to eat peacefully.
No,
don't you do that to yourself. It's the best part of the video, in my opinion.
You're eating Chick-fil-A. It's delicious.
Yeah.
But it's great because it's like everyone. It's like a big win. Everyone's going ham all around you. Like Dozier's like singing dramatically like he's on The Bachelor and he's trying to impress the chick.
He's like trying out for the Beach Boys.
And then
or
you're like in the background. You're just like hoarding over your nuggets and hoping no one takes any.
Yeah, don't tear me away from my Chick-fil-A nuggets. We're going to have a problem if that happens.
The look on your face said I love you to those nuggets, man. I get it, dude. I've been there.
So delicious. Eric, thank you, and keep on keeping on. You've been pitching wonderfully.
Keep rolling, pal.
Okay, thank you.
You got it.
See you guys.
Eric Fetty on Grant and Danny. You won't say see you guys.
See you guys. He just wanted to get off the phone.
See you guys. Yeah. Why did you say see you guys?
Because I wanted him to say it. Because he said okay and just took off. See you guys. How about that? How about the ending that should have happened at the interview? I wonder why he didn't say anything.
Right when you said it was so uncomfortable. Because it was an uncomfortable ending. So you were trying to help him.
Yeah.
Because he
like,
just.
See you guys. Right? Isn't that what we wanted there? Take it easy. Bye, fellas. We had so much fun. And then he pulled the ripcord.
It was an incredible interview. And then at the very end, we're like,
"Okay,
dude, you're killing it. Everything's been great. Way
okay.
to go. We love Chick-fil-A." And he goes,
"Okay."
Okay. And then Danny goes, "See you guys."
See you guys. I should have done that.
You're trying
now I feel
to help
bad.
Him?
Yeah, now I feel bad. Because it wasn't help because he was already off the phone. But now I feel like a jerk.
I think you were just thinking, say see you guys, and you just accidentally said it out loud.
I was like trying to make a joke, and I shouldn't have at his expense. That was mean, and I shouldn't have done that because he was awesome. That was really fun. But he just went, he didn't say anything. And I was like, see you guys. Like, that's what we would say to each other at this point. It's customary. I shouldn't have done that. I feel terrible. Please, if you're listening, Eric, I apologize. That was rude of me. Nationals, I'm sorry.
He was great.
He was so awesome.
Oh, that was fun. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Next, Max Scherzer has spoken with reporters. News is pretty good. You might be very happy to hear what we'll tell you next.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. We've got some audio from Max Scherzer we'll play in a moment that you absolutely have to hear. Finally, could be some good news on the Max front. Hopefully you heard our interview with Eric Fetty. Many
just
of you,
one person, by the way.
Including me, won't soon forget it. It was a lot of fun. Fetty was outstanding.
He was great.
The end of the interview. The interview, all interview long, he was a 65. And he was plus, probably. Mm-hmm. Maybe even a 70 at times. Maybe a fringe 70, 65. But then the end of the interview was the radio version of when you're leaving a holiday party and you go in for a handshake and your uncle goes in for a hug. And then you change to the handshake, and he changes to the hug. Here's how it all went down.
Okay, thank you.
You got it.
See you guys.
Eric Fetty on Grant and Danny. You won't say see you guys.
See you guys.
I mean,
I feel so badly.
Can you go to the last part of us? Because it was kind of a big send-off from us, if you will. Like,
yeah.
Go get him. We're counting on you. Pitch great. I even said the word wonderfully for some reason. I didn't say you're pitching well. I said you're pitching wonderfully. Like, why? I don't know why I said that.
Yeah, don't tear me away from my Chick-fil-A nuggets. We're going to have a problem if that happens.
The look on your face said I love you to those nuggets, man. I get it, dude. I've been there.
So delicious. Eric, thank you, and keep on keeping on. You've been pitching wonderfully.
Keep rolling, pal.
Okay, thank you.
You got it.
See you guys.
Eric Fetty on Grant and Danny. You won't say
so. I mean, first of all, he said okay. That is such a weird rebuttal.
Because we're making a big, like, dude, awesome job. It was great to have you. Thank you so much. I totally understand what you're saying. We're the same. We eat Chick-fil-A. See you later, buddy. Okay, thank you.
Okay. I mean, because the thing was, that would be the end of the interview if, like, the whole interview went a very different way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He the whole time was like, happy to be here, willing to talk. This has been great. And I think it was just at the end, he didn't, like, it's difficult. You're on a phone, we jump in, you jump in. He's like, okay.
Okay, thank you.
You got it.
See you guys. So it's like, imagine.
You guys slays me.
If Rudy Grunfeld still had the job, like right after the trade deadline, we'd interviewed him. You know, and I basically been like, this is why this was wrong. This is why this was wrong. Why'd you do that? And the end of the interview, he'd have been like, okay, thank you. Like, you would have done it like that. Like.
Okay, thank you.
Like,
you
just
got it.
See you guys. It went from great energy and a lot of fun to, all right.
I thought Danny was, when he said see you guys, I thought he meant me and Eric, and he was just leaving for the day. Because that's when you would say see you guys. Or maybe it was, you. Did you think someone else was on the phone with Eric the whole
no.
time? Like PR
director?
Well,
there director. Was. There What's was that? A PR person.
Oh, it was Kyle Brostowitz and Eric both on the phone.
So Danny was saying goodbye to both of them.
Oh, okay.
I was not. You guys are turning this into something.
Okay, thank you.
You got it.
See you guys. And neither way that you could play this, by the way, do I look good. I'm not sitting here getting out of anything. It was a jerk blurt out that I did.
You're making I think you're better off just coming to our side. Because you look worse if you're basically being mean.
Well, I'm being honest. Here's what happened. I'm going, this is so awkward. Why did you do that? Someone should be saying, see you guys. And I just blurted that out.
But there's not enough time for you to process all that.
It's all happening in real time.
Thank you.
You got it.
See you guys.
I think it's are you sure it's not just you meant to say, see you, Eric, and you said, see you guys?
No. Because this is what he should have said,
can
and
I
I'm like,
one more
how are we not saying this?
It's so fast, though.
Okay, thank you.
You got it.
See you guys. It's like under my breath. You can hear it. See you guys. Like,
that was my favorite part about
what you should
it.
Be doing.
It was under your breath.
Somebody should be saying this. Is it not? We're not going to say this. And it comes off very jerkish. And I apologize for that.
No, you shouldn't apologize. That was my best time. That was the best of our times together.
The best of times.
I loved it. Oh, I'm sorry I lost it, but it was just great.
See you later.
Real quick, this was Max Scherzer with reporters in the dugout within the last half hour. This is big.
Going at full tilt with no more velocity, it's the day after that. That's really been the tricky thing in all of this, and that's why I've been scratching my head left and right trying to figure this thing out. But was able to come in today, felt good, was able to go out there and play catch. Pretty much at the intensity I thought I was going to be able to play catch at today, given that through the same game yesterday. So for me, I want to get in a game now. I'm ready to get in a game. Looking forward to pitch.
I want to get into a game now. I'm ready to get into a game.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
This is what
we need.
This is what we want.
This is why we're here.
If you missed any part of today's show, including Eric Fetty on the line with us, he was excellent as always. Go to thefandc.com, grantanddanny.com/audio. See you guys.
Joe Ross is throwing a curveball now. But we thought he had slider arm action. CDBTW will take 4.5 hours and in-depth explain why we were wrong.
Okay, thank you.
You got it.
Football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.